Good evening, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY. I'm your host, Sheila White, here with a very special guest, Eileen Huckford Wood, who has the most amazing collection of purses that's right now available for the public to spy on for the next couple of months. Welcome, Eileen.
Thank you for having me, Sheila.
Well, I have done a little bit of research on this collection, and I just have to say my mind is blown by the expanse, the diversity of the work, and the care with which you have given to building this collection. Can you tell us how it all started?
It started rather innocently. It started with a red bag. And the red bag was a bag that my mother gave me when I was very young. She gave me a choice of two handbags to pick from. One was brown vinyl and looked like all the bags my girlfriends were carrying. And the other one was red leather, and it had a metal brass industrial zipper and buckles. And it was a grainy sort of leather, much like an early Coach bag. And she said, pick one and tell me why. And even though all my friends were drawn to the neutral brown, I looked at the red bag and said, it's the red one. And the reasons why were, it was a beautiful color, it would go with everything, and I liked the fact that it was real and that it was going to age in an appealing way over time. I'm sure I didn't use those terms as like a 9 or 12-year-old, but I was aware of the fact that this was a real material versus vinyl. And eventually, years later, I went into the fashion industry. I was a visual director. I was a fashion director. I worked for a number of well-known retail stores. And during that experience, I was in the company of people who designed beautiful things, and I had access to lovely things at insider prices. So at the very beginning, I was collecting handbags that I chose to accessorize, and I viewed them as part of my outfit. But over time, I began to notice that, to me, bags were works of art. There were bags that were made by designers that were very limited editions, or bags that were created by artists, or bags that were decorated upon by artists. And I was really attracted to all of these different bags that I viewed as works of art. And I began to do quite a bit of reading on fashion history, and I realized that handbags are cultural artifacts. And what they do is they tell us a lot about the time in which they were made and worn and the people that chose to wear them. So once I grew intrigued by that, I began to make a hit list of bags that I wanted to own, pivotal bags, iconic bags, historical bags. And I drew up a list of things that I thought were important. And I was in my head planning a traveling museum exhibition, because I ended up going from fashion into writing books. I've written and published 9 books. I'm a great researcher. I do really well online. So I decided that this really was meant to be a collection. It was meant to be an exhibition to be shared with the public. And because of my online sourcing skills, I was able to track down virtually all of the bags on my hit list.
Now, that hit list grew from your relationship and working in the fashion industry and being connected with a lot of creative ideas. And it seems some of the purses in your collection have also designs with things outside of fashion. I know that one of the exhibits is at the America on Wheels.
Yes.
And so there's some car enthusiasts that also might see handbags in a different way.
Truly. A lot of the bags that I am drawn to have a sense of humor, and there is a whole group of bags that I really love that are what I classify as surreal bags, where they look like objects. So I own bags that look like ice buckets with champagne bottles in them, with Lucite ice cubes. And I own handbags that look like automobiles, or look like car doors, or are made from diverse materials like license plates or seatbelts. So there are 150 bags of an automotive theme that we peeled off of the collection and have on display at America on Wheels in Allentown. So 150. So you've got a lot of bags when you can pull out 150 with an automotive or travel theme.
And it's not just the logo on a buckle.
Absolutely,
of a wide variety of ideas.
A lot of people were inspired by different topics. And the bags at America on Wheels, I have bags that were done by Gautier for Christian Dior. So they're at every level. And there are very inexpensive bags that you could buy off a blanket on the street or pick up in Walmart or Target. So my collection runs the gamut. One of the interesting things about my collection versus ones that you might think of, I mean, people think of bag collectors and they think of Kim Kardashian with like hundreds of Birkin bags. And we can get into that later. But the fact is my collection differs from that in that I am interested in the democratization of fashion. So while I might wish to own one Birkin bag that is iconic and stands for that level of handbag collector, I'm also very interested in what the man on the street has an opportunity to wear if they are intrigued by that bag.
And it's interesting that you talk about bags as wearable objects. You know, I am not a fashionista. I mean, ask my kids. You know, no, Mom, you're totally uncool. But I carry bags more as a function. Mm-hmm. And if it fits all the stuff that I need to have it fit in, I started actually only carrying bags after I had a diaper bag. And then I realized I needed to carry bandages with me all the time just in case. All right. So the function versus fashion idea, when I look at so many of the collections of your collection, of the pieces of your collection, there are so many functional bags as well. I'm intrigued to look inside. How many pockets are in the inside? How many dividers? How does it work for a woman who now has to carry glasses and a phone and all these other things? Whereas a clutch was just for the compact and the lipstick to refresh during dinner.
Well, precisely. What you have just brought up is, in one sense, the essence of handbags. Because at the simplest level, what is a handbag? It's a device that a woman chooses to contain all of the stuff that she finds essential for her day. And different women find different things essential. And there are some women that are very no-nonsense, and maybe, you know, the lipstick, the compact, and, you know, some dollar bills crushed up is enough to do it. And those people can get away with a really tiny bag and probably something that is crossbody, so they're hands-free. And there are bags that serve that purpose. At the opposite end of the spectrum are bags that are capacious enough to hold everything you might choose to carry. And those bags really were initially created in the 1970s. And the reason, going back to social history, back in the late 60s, early 70s, women were going into the workforce in large numbers. And women were working in large cities in many cases. They'd be commuting to work. They'd have their running shoes. They'd have their heels. They'd change at work. So a bag had to be big enough to carry all of their paperwork, their laptop computer, their water bottle, perhaps their workout gear, a pair of sneakers when they were in their heels, the heels when they were going to work wearing the sneakers. So bags became really large because they were functional and they continue to be functional. And your intrigue in the contents of a bag is part of the psychology of handbags, because very often there is a great disconnect between the look of a bag a woman chooses to carry and the contents she has inside. And that's something that fascinates me as well.
This conversation that we're having, Eileen, is just triggering so many questions. And so one of the questions that I have is actually connected to the statement that you talked about, the contents of a woman's purse. I believe that at the Kemmer Museum or at the Moravian Museum on Church Street, one of the opportunities that a visitor has is to actually take a picture of the contents of their purse and share that with others. What are you hoping to get from that in terms of that kind of community sharing of personal information?
Well, it wasn't so much of what I am getting from it. My belief was that this was a way to engage with the public and make it very interactive and make people actually think about what they feel the need to carry and look at it as compared to what others anonymously have posted of what they need to carry.
Anonymous is a good
it's
thing.
It's anonymous because this is at the Kemmer Museum. And Lindsay Jansay, who is the curator of this exhibition and a brilliant curator at that, Lindsay came up with the idea of what she called a purse dump. And it's not the most elegant title, but it's pretty effective. and she provided a table that's all white, and you can dump out your purse and array your contents in a pleasing manner, and then there's a camera to use to take a quick snapshot, an instant photo of the contents of your bag arrayed on the table. And we've got magnets and metal boards, and people with some frequency are dumping out their bags and taking a photo and sticking it up on the board. And you'd be surprised at the array of contents.
Well, I know that there are many women who will have the same bag for a while, mm-hmm. and the opportunity to dump would probably, oh, that's a very old tissue there at the bottom of the bag. But it's an opportunity also to resort what's in there. I mean, mm-hmm. Sometimes a bag can become a cavernous hole, and you can't find your keys, and they're stuck in a zipper or something mm-hmm. that you had forgotten was in there. Bags can be such a mysterious thing as well. I mean, it's... In your collection, you have also pieces that were iconic. And the reason why I'm bringing up a mystery is this icon is, why was this the one that was picked for that Alfred Hitchcock movie? Why was why was Breakfast at Tiffany's? Why is that? You know, and when you start to really look at this collection and the variety and the vastness of all of that, it doesn't seem to be like it's clear to me what time period this came from or what fashion statement this came from. You know, it's like you really have to study purses to know how to categorize things.
Well, I think what you're saying about the time frame, fashion is cyclical. What goes around comes around. And pretty much something that might have been in fashion even in the 1920s can be reworked and refigured for today's purposes. So therefore, handbag designers go back to resource materials for inspiration. There are archival collections that handbag designers will resort to give them fresh ideas because you can get stale. So this is an opportunity to look back and reinterpret things from the past.
Well, this sounds like a wonderful time for us to take a quick break because I'm going to want to dig into that, looking into the past a little bit more with some of the iconic pieces in your collection. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon with our guest, Eileen Huckberg-Wood, who has a wonderful collection of purses and handbags in the museums at Moravian Historic Museum, the Kemmerer Museum, and America on Wheels. We'll be back in a short bit.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax-deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY. I'm Sheila White, your host, and having a wonderful conversation with Eileen Huckberg-Wood, whose collection of purses and handbags is now available for people to look at and observe up until April 30th of 2020.
Yes.
And if people want to know more about this exhibit, they can look at the website historicmuseums.org.
Okay. The best way to do it is if you Google the term personality, P-U-R-S-E-O-N-A-L-I-T-Y, at Historic Bethlehem. And if you go into historicbethlehem.com, there is a site for the personality exhibit.
It's actually historicbethlehem.org.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes,
forgive me.
Yes,
correct.
We want to make sure that our listeners have it.
Absolutely.
And they can also call a 1-800-360-TOUR, T-O-U-R, to also get more information about tickets to all three of these venues. I believe there's a combo ticket offered.
There is.
So you can just buy a one ticket, and the only time that these tickets will expire is when the exhibit expires.
Precisely.
So, we were talking a little bit earlier about the function of purses. And while we were on break, we were having a little bit of a sidebar of men wearing purses. But you had some really interesting perspectives of that. Eileen, could you share it with us?
Well, certainly. People think of purses as a clearly female domain. But the fact is, purses were originally designed by men for men. And the first purse was carried by a caveman, some sort of a suede pouch. But after that, Perhaps even during the Renaissance era, men were the ones that carried their money and they carried, you know, whatever the essentials were. And they devised a little coin purse to go and hold these objects. And it wasn't until later, I would say almost the Victorian era, when women got into the act.
Well, I'm also thinking of Scotland Highland sporns.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a bag as well.
Yes.
So all those manly beasts there in the Highland field.
They were the ones that started this.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about more of the defined pieces in your collection. I believe you actually made some of the purses in your collection yourself.
I've customized. I took a bag that had a beautiful shape. It was shaped almost like a trunk, like a square boxy bag. And I hated the color and I hated the fabric, but I loved the shape. And a girlfriend, I'll give credit where it's due, a girlfriend once went to an event carrying a bag very similarly shaped, but it was totally covered with stones and jewels and buttons and items, and I thought it was extraordinary. So one night, a cold winter night, I was sitting home, I was a bit bored, and I decided to have my Martha Stewart moment.
Oh.
So I dug through all of my drawers to find broken jewelry, to find buttons, to find all kinds of crazy objects, and I got out my trusty hot glue gun and went at it. And by the end of the evening, I had created a bag that I adore. And there are pictures of it online, and it's in the exhibition. But it's a trunk-shaped bag that's covered mostly with broken jewelry and buttons. And it's really fun.
And I know that sometimes hot glue can't always stick, so you probably only use this rarely, or you would lose some of these pieces.
Well, I think that it depends on the hot glue you're using, of course. There are hot glue sticks that are made for making jewelry, and they are pretty sturdy, because I've actually worn this bag a number of times, and it suffered no damage.
Can I ask, what is your favorite bag out of the whole collection?
All right, can I ask, which is your favorite child out of all your children?
Oh, I could tell you on a given day.
Well, that's not a good thing. So the truth of the matter is, I have lots and lots of favorites. And there are certain bags that I love for particular reasons. One of my very favorites, quite clearly, is the oversized red crocodile Kelly bag. It's a 40-centimeter Kelly bag. And at the time that I received it as a gift from my first husband, I really didn't think of it as being perhaps the most precious item I own as far as value. He paid a couple of $1,000, which I thought at the time was rather insane, but he thought it was a magnificent bag and he bought it for me. And I recently had the bag appraised by people that know bag values and discovered that this bag is worth in excess of $100,000 today.
Oh, my.
So I have now transitioned from actually wearing this bag to having this bag sitting in a vault.
Yes, I would too. And I'm sure that this applies to so many of the pieces in your collection, since they're of historic nature or of a particular artist. You were mentioning earlier, and I can't recall if this was before our online or our on-air conversation, but you were also talking about how purses have a cyclical nature, and fashion has a cyclical nature. And sometimes designers look at the past to inspire their future. Are there artists that have looked at your collection and expanded on some ideas that they've seen in your collection to develop their new styles?
If they have, I'm unaware of it. And the reason for that is, up until very recently, my collection was private. I was not talking about it. I was not displaying it. There was no, you know, public information about the fact that I had created this collection. I was, as I mentioned before, trying to put together a traveling museum exhibition. And I had an inventory list of what I thought were iconic bags or topics to be covered in this exhibit. And at the point where I thought I had reached a critical mass and put together a significant number of bags to create this exhibition, it was only at that time that I reached out to a couple of different people and places to explore having this displayed in a public manner. And truly, with very limited exceptions, this exhibition, which is at the three locations, the Kemmerer Museum in Bethlehem and the Moravian Museum in Bethlehem and America on Wheels in Allentown, prior to that, there were only one or two small exhibitions that I had actually done at the Kemmerer Museum. And I did them because I'm local and because I have a relationship with historic Bethlehem museums and sites. I have worked with them on a couple of their events. I've been a volunteer. I've been on committees. So when people knew that I had this collection that was, you know, just getting underway, I did actually a speaking engagement for Historic Bethlehem. They have something called the Schneider Lecture.
Yes.
And I gave the Schneider Lecture about the history of handbags and handbags within my collection. So that was probably my first public foray with this collection. And as a result of that speaking engagement, Historic Bethlehem had me provide bags on two occasions that filled a small vitrine. So we're talking 10, 15 bags. At this point, this exhibition, we've got 150 automotive bags at America on Wheels. We have 100 bags that are handmade by stitchery. They're needlepoint, they're embroidery, they're beaded. And those are at the Moravian Museum. And then we have, quote unquote, 561 bags on display at the Kemmerer. And we know it's 561 because my boyfriend, Ray Starner, is somebody who can be somewhat anal in his way. And he actually went through and counted every bag at the exhibit.
But
so
when you say you want this collection to be available to the public, what happens when the exhibit's over?
Well, what's going to happen when the exhibition is over? We have already been approached by a couple of museums about traveling this exhibition to other cities, to other places, and we're working very closely with them to have this happen. And truly, my grand dream, my thought that had been in the back of my mind, but I hadn't announced it until recently, was I am using this collection as the basis of the American Handbag Museum. I am going to create a museum with these materials and make them available to the public. Because I never collected them for me to be a hoarder or for me to have and look at in boxes in the privacy of my home. My intention had always been to tell the story of these handbags, to tell the story of our culture as through these handbags, and to make them available to the public to examine and enjoy.
Oh my gosh, that's just such a noble ideal.
Well, I think it's something that handbags are far more iconic, and they're cultural artifacts that tell a lot about people, and they present a really fun opportunity to learn about history and to learn about anthropology and sociology and psychology. And men have come to this exhibit feeling they're taking one for the team. You know, their wife or girlfriend wants to see this. And I cannot tell you, I've spent time at the museum, and I cannot tell you how many men have come over to me and said, I was dragged here under duress, but this is wonderful. I'm learning a lot of things. I'm seeing things I never saw before. So it had always been my intention to create something that would live on. And perhaps it's part of my legacy. I hate to use that word, but I feel it's very important that I saw the importance to these bags. I felt the necessity to preserve them, but to preserve them for public enjoyment and public, you know, educational use.
Well, that educational use, I think, will really open people's minds a little bit about this functional fashion.
Absolutely.
It is actually a worn piece. It's not something that you have to drag along. It's something that completes the outfit.
Well, again, in so many different ways. On one hand, it's something that is strictly functional as a conveyance to bring all your stuff along during the day. At the other end of the spectrum, it is a punctuation to your outfit. It's jewelry. You know, it's an accessory item that adds the extra spark to what you might be wearing. Now, people who know me in person know that I mostly dress in black. I wear a lot of black dresses, black tunics, black sweaters. The reason I dress mostly in black is because it provides a neutral background for these handbags to pop. And to me, the handbag is the important part of the outfit. The rest of it is just backdrop.
Well, that makes so much sense.
Well, in my case, yes.
So I wanted to remind our listeners that this exhibition is open and from right now. It opened last week on the 11th.
A couple of weeks ago, yes.
And it will remain open at all three locations until April 30th, 2020. So if you have visitors coming from out of town, this is a wonderful opportunity to share some of our local prizes and our special gem. Eileen, you're just a gem of our community
here. Well, thank you. You were so kind to say so. I'm going to throw out another thing.
Okay.
As we come into the Christmas season, we have made it really special for people. On all the locations in historic Bethlehem, they have geared their trees to coordinate with the bags.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're calling them couture trees. So you must come and see the Christmas trees in all of these locations that are geared to the handbags.
Yes. And again, for our listeners to find out more about this exhibition and how you can see these and the couture trees, historicbethlehem.org, or one may call 1-800-360-TOUR, 360-TOUR. You've been listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm Sheila White.